Well, I am so sorry about this, but I have to begin today with something of a hard luck story. Now, know this, I promise, the story is going to provide you with hope when it's all over. Hope, a spiritual discipline of hope. But the hard luck story involves the people of ancient Israel. They established their beloved capital of Jerusalem round about the year 1000 BC under the leadership of King David. The city and its people thrived. Jerusalem became the very center of the economic, political, and religious life of the people. But just a little over 400 years later, it all came tumbling down. The dreaded Babylonian army invaded Israel, conquered and destroyed Jerusalem, with barely a stone standing upon a stone. The marauding hordes killed thousands of people and hauled off the survivors to exile in Babylon. It was a nightmare. The remnant of Israel in Babylon was subjected to unthinkable persecution and hardship, forced to worship the false Babylonian gods. Well, into this hopeless situation strode a strange prophet who delivered to the people a strange message. A strange message of hope. We heard the message from God that the prophet delivered to the people in their hopeless situation in the reading that we heard this morning from the book of the prophet Isaiah. As the rain and snow fall from the heavens and do not return there, until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. I wonder how those people responded to that message. Here they were, hopelessly trapped, groveling in despair before harsh masters. And what is it they receive? An elementary school physics lesson on precipitation and evaporation? What in the world does that message have to do with hope? Well, maybe you noticed that God's use in this passage through the prophet of precipitation and evaporation are merely standing in for metaphors for what the prophet referred to as God's Word. God's Word is the active presence in the story. So in their anguish, dispirited, hopeless state, the people were reminded of an eternal truth. God's word comes down from heaven. God's word accomplishes God's purposes. And God's word then returns to God. And God's word returns to God not empty, but having accomplished God's purposes and succeeding in the thing for which God sent it. Now, we know a whole lot more about the power of God's word than the people of ancient Israel were privy to at this moment. Like them, we do know that God spoke a world. In Genesis, the people had been told, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God spoke a world into being. God created the universe through the power and the limitless love of God's Word. And when the time was right for God to speak God's ultimate word of love and hope and salvation to the world, what happened? Well, what happened has never been more powerfully and beautifully expressed than it was expressed in the first chapter of the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. God's word of love and hope was given ultimate expression in the flesh of Jesus of Nazareth. God's word came down from heaven, accomplished God's purposes, and did not return to God empty. God's word returned to God with us in his arms. He lifts us with him into the eternal embrace of the Creator, which means, among other things, that we're never actually living in the absence of hope, even when the situation seems hopeless. By the presence and the power and the everlasting love of God's Word, hope is woven into the very fabric of the created order. And viewed this way, hope is not simply a sentiment, a feeling, an emotion. Hope is quite truly a fact of creation. Hope is an integral part of God's creation. Hope is an ongoing reality that God spoke into the world in creation and in the person of Jesus. And it is a continuing eternal reality that God continues to speak in our world and in our own lives. You know, the ancient Israelites, they learned a little bit about the constant presence of the fact of the validity of hope just a few years after they heard that strange message from the strange prophet about precipitation and evaporation. The Persian Empire collapsed, or defeated their Babylonian persecutors, whose empire did collapse. And against all odds, the Israelites found freedom. They were able to return to their beloved homeland, and they rebuilt their city. They learned the truth about hope. It is a fact, a reality that can be depended upon, even when we're led by all other external objective reality that there is nothing to hope for. The poet Emily Dickinson described this just as beautifully as I've ever heard it described when she wrote, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all." Hope. Hope is always there, always singing, always available to give us strength. It takes discipline to claim this truth. It takes the spiritual discipline of hope. I found out about the power and presence of hope when I was in seminary in New York City. I was blessed 1 year to have as my professor Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa. He was on sabbatical from his ministry in his homeland, and he'd retreated to my seminary in the dark, hopeless days of apartheid in South Africa. P.W. Botha was in the presidential palace in Pretoria. Nelson Mandela languished in solitary confinement on Robben Island in the 20th year of a life sentence without the possibility of parole. Archbishop Tutu's own people had turned against him because he was demanding that they not stoop to violence in their quest of freedom. So he was isolated, literally threatened on every side, and all alone, and he was spent. They were dark days. The situation seemed to be hopeless. Well, in the midst of all this seeming hopelessness, Desmond Tutu invited me and some other folks to accompany him on a visit to the South African consulate in New York City. But when we arrived at the South African consulate, they wouldn't let us in. They locked the door. Through the windows, we could see the folks moving back and forth, carrying papers this way and that way from desk to desk, engaged in the day-to-day humdrum work of racial persecution, separation, apartheid. Well, Archbishop Tutu just happened to have an old battery-powered megaphone that he was carrying with him on our journey. He pulled it out, and he began to yell at the people barricaded in the consulate. "We are here to declare victory," he shouted. "We are announcing our freedom. You are on the wrong side of history, and you have lost. You just don't know it yet." Well, I'll tell you what. That statement, to me, in that moment, on that day, did not sound too much like a statement that was grounded in any kind of reality that I could understand. And so after this improbably hopeful proclamation, I looked at Desmond out of the corner of my eye, quizzically, like, "Where are you getting off with this kind of talk?" And Desmond witnessed my reaction. And later that day, when we were alone, he pulled me aside and sat me down and said to me forcefully, "Tom, people sometimes call me an optimist. I am not optimistic. I am quite different. I am hopeful. Optimism depends on outward circumstances, Tom. Hope lies in the heart. I am hopelessly hopeful. I am a prisoner of hope." Well, Desmond's hope in the face of hopelessness, his discipline of hope, reminded me of the truth, the everlasting reality, that there is always hope. Because hope does not depend on how the world looks. Hope depends on how we look at the world. Richard Rohr put it this way: hope is a participation in the very life of God. It has nothing to do with circumstances or events going well. This is true, my brothers and sisters, because God spoke a world in creation, and because God spoke indelible hope into the world in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Hope is woven into the very foundation of creation. We can't get away from it. It is a fact spoken to us by God. And God continues to speak hope into the world, into our world right now, into our lives right now. We're all, whether we know it or not, prisoners of hope. Hope is always present. When the situation looks hopeless, look more closely. Listen for it. It's singing to you. Cling to it. Allow it to imprison your very being, because it really is true. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. Amen.